When the timepiece rolled into 2009, Elon Musk had every reason to decelerate down. He had just clawed his way out of fiscal ruin, slightly saved two companies, and gone through a brutal divorce that left him emotionally wrecked. But rather than resting, he looked at the chaos he'd survived and allowed. Now we can really start. That time marked the morning of Elon's metamorphosis from a hopeless author to a global visionary. The failures of the history had burned down his vacillation, and what was left was a man hugely concentrated on prosecution. The world hadn't yet realized it, but the coming decade of invention, the buses, the rockets, the energy revolution was formally being erected in the chaos of 2009. Tesla's revitalization when Musk officially came CEO of Tesla in 2009. The company was little further than a sprinkle of exhausted masterminds, an incompletely successful roadster, and a mountain of debt. The electric auto assiduity was still a joke to utmost automakers. Critics mocked Tesla's $100,000 sports auto as a rich man's toy and prognosticated it would evaporate within a time. But Elon had a plan. He called it the secret Tesla Motors master plan. It was simple making precious auto. Use that plutocrat to make a more affordable auto. Use that plutocrat to make a truly mass request auto. Give zero emigration power generation options. The Roadster was step one, and Musk refused to let it fail. He tete-a-tete reviewed every design, argued with suppliers, and demanded perfection. Some workers respected his intensity. Others stressed it. Stories began to circulate inside Tesla. Elon tearing piecemeal negotiating donations, calling 3 a.m. meetings, indeed firing people on the spot. He didn't see it as atrocity. He saw it as survival. "We're not then to be comfortable," he'd say. "We're then to make history." Revolution in Silicon Valley in March 2009. Tesla secured $465 million in loans from the U.S. Department of Energy, meant to support clean energy invention. It was a turning point. Suddenly, Tesla was then just a floundering incipiency. It was part of a public energy docket. With that backing, Elon began pushing the company beyond the Roadster. He wanted a family hydrofoil that could review what an auto could be the Model S. He tete-a-tete obsessed over every detail, the range, the design, indeed the touchscreen interface. The Model S wouldn't just be electric. It would be beautiful, minimalist, and futuristic. A auto that would make people want to go electric. At the time, the big automakers laughed. Electric buses were slow, boring, and impracticable. Musk didn't argue. He just said, "Stay and see." While Tesla worked in near silence, SpaceX was eventually chancing its meter. The fourth Falcon 1 success had drawn NASA's attention. The $1.6 billion contract gave SpaceX commodity priceless credibility. From the garage to the plant to make the Model S real, Tesla demanded a home. In 2010, they struck a deal to buy a massive, partial abandoned GM Toyota plant in Fremont, California. The place had formerly erected hundreds of thousands of gas-powered buses. Now, it would come a tabernacle for the electric future. Musk walked to the cavernous empty halls, pointing at the walls and imagining robotic arms, assembly lines, and masterminds in white fleeces. "This," he said, "is where the future gets erected." That same time, Tesla took another bold step. It went public. On June 29, 2010, Tesla Motors came the first American auto company to go public since Ford in 1956. Shares opened at $17 and snappily jumped. The IPO raised over $226 million. For Musk, it was confirmation that his vision was just fantasy presently. Tesla had survived, and now it had capital to grow. SpaceX takes flight meanwhile on the other side of California. SpaceX was preparing for a new period. NASA's contract for the commercial resupply services meant real operations to the International Space Station. Musk and his masterminds were designing the Falcon 9, a larger, more able rocket, and the Dragon capsule meant to carry weight and ultimately humans. When Falcon 9 launched successfully on June 4, 2010, it was a seismic shift. The 9 machine rocket soared into the sky, impeccably executed each stage, and placed its cargo into route. It was not just another success. It was the dawn of marketable spaceflight. Musk stood in the control room, eyes locked on the defenses, as data verified the route. The masterminds cheered, and he allowed himself a small, rare grin. SpaceX had gone from a crazy idea to a serious space contender in just 8 times. NASA Director Charles Bolden called it a new period of invention in space disquisition. For Musk, it was more particular. The failures, the insomniac nights, the demotion all of it had led then. And now he wanted more. A different kind of confidence by 2011, Elon's character had changed. Formerly seen as a reckless utopian, he was now being compared to Steve Jobs and Thomas Edison. Yet, inside his companies, the intensity was worse than ever. Musk's operation style hardened. He demanded results briskly, cheaper, and better than anyone allowed possible. His emails came fabulous, short, direct, occasionally ruthless. However, they were gone. If someone couldn't keep up, people said working for him was like standing in a hurricane, but others thrived on it. His conviction was glamorous. He wasn't asking workers to make buses or rockets. He was asking them to rewrite the future. And they believed him. At Tesla, the first Model S prototypes began testing on California roads. At SpaceX, masterminds were working toward the first Dragon capsule flight to the ISS. Every corner sounded come briskly than the last. But success brought new pressure. Investors wanted gains. NASA wanted trustability. The media wanted results. And Elon, he wanted perfection. He was juggling two companies again, each growing at snappy speed. The difference is time. Now, the world was watching. The regard of what's next in September 2011, at a space conference in Long Beach, Musk gave a talk that stunned the followership. After a detailed, specialized discussion about rockets, he casually added, "Eventually, I believe we need to make life multiplanetary." He wasn't talking about someday. He was talking about soon. "Earth went last ever," he said. "We need to save the light of knowledge." Utmost people dismissed it as wisdom fabrication. But many noticed a look in his eyes, calm, certain, nearly intolerant. He was making a vaticination. He was making a pledge. And back at Tesla, the Model S was nearly ready for product. The same time, the first full-scale prototypes rolled off the line. They were satiny, presto, and silent. Every person who drove one came down shocked. This was a niche trial. It was a morning of commodity enormous. By the end of 2011, both Tesla and SpaceX were gaining instigation. Investors were returning. Governments were paying attention. And Elon Musk was starting to look impregnable. But he knew better. He'd learned the hard way that success doesn't last without alert. Every system could fail. Every company could deteriorate. And the coming many times would test just how far his newfound conglomerate could stretch before it broke again. By 2012, Elon Musk had eventually escaped the shadow of collapse. But he wasn't happy with survival. He wanted to prove commodity larger, that too of humanity's most settled. Diligence, space, and automotive could be reinvented not by governments or pods, but by a sprinkle of grim masterminds led by a man who refused to hear the word insolvable. The times between 2012 and 2013 would do further than validate Musk's vision. They'd turn him into a symbol, respected, mocked, stressed, but insolvable to ignore. The age of acceleration had truly begun. The Dragon takes flight in May 2012. Inside SpaceX's Hawthorne headquarters, hundreds of masterminds crowded around observers as the Falcon 9 thundered off the pad at Cape Canaveral. On top sat the Dragon capsule, flashing white against the morning sky. This was just another test. Dragon was on its way to make history, the first marketable spacecraft to dock with the International Space Station. When the capsule eventually attached to the ISS 2 days laterally, a voice crepitated through charge control. "Houston, station has captured the Dragon." Cheers erupted. Some masterminds cried. Musk stood in the middle of the chaos, silent at first, also smiled. A real one this time, tired and proud. He told the press laterally, "It feels like a dream. For SpaceX, this is just a morning." But that morning had enormous counter-accusations. For the first time ever, NASA had reckoned on a private company, not a government agency, to deliver weight to space. SpaceX had just rewritten the rules of space disquisition. From that point forward, the world started treating Musk else. He was ain't just another tech author presently. He was a Joe who transferred his own rocket to space. The birth of revolution on wheels while SpaceX was reconsidering aerospace. Tesla was gearing up for its biggest test yet, the launch of the Model S. Everything depended on this auto. The Roadster had been a niche luxury toy, but the Model S was meant to prove that electric vehicles could contend head-to-head with the stylish cruisers in the world. Elon tete-a-tete oversaw every design decision. He abominated clutter, so he claimed the dashboard be dominated by a single 17-inch touchscreen, a bold choice that fright traditional auto contrivers. He obsessed over performance 0 to 60 in under 5 seconds, over 250 long hauls of range, and no noise except the soft hum of power. Tesla masterminds would joke that Musk's norms were ant-mortal. He'd reject door handles that didn't feel futuristic enough, or headlights that didn't look alive. But behind that perfectionism was a purpose every detail was meant to make people fall in love with an electric auto. By June 2012, the first Model S rolled off the Fremont product line. Musk was there, girdled by workers cheering as he handed over keys to the first buyers. He called it the stylish auto in the world, period. And unexpectedly, pundits agreed. Motor Trend named it the 2013 auto of the time, praising its performance, design, and technology. It wasn't just the first electric auto to win. It beat every gas power contender outright. Suddenly, Tesla was ent and sacrificed presently. It was a miracle. The shift in the air after the Model S launch, Tesla's stock price started climbing. The media, which had formerly mocked Musk as a reckless utopian, now hailed him as a visionary. Investors saw occasion. Masterminds saw purpose. Tesla stores began opening in major metropolises, modeled after Apple's minimalist aesthetic. People came not just to buy buses, but to witness the future. Children pressed their faces to the glass to see the satiny machines over near. The world was changing and Elon Musk had come its utmost doubtful idol. But the fame came with scrutiny. The press loved his brilliance but questioned his intensity. Former workers described a brutal terrain where Musk's prospects crushed indeed the most talented workers. Still, no bone could argue with results. He was winning. In one time, he'd achieved two of the most significant technological improvements of the decade, an electric auto that readdressed the bus assiduity, and a private spacecraft that reached route and docked with the ISS. The insolvable was getting routine. From entrepreneur to icon as Musk's fame grew, his public persona started taking on a legendary shape. Interviews, magazine covers, and pictures portrayed him as a new kind of industrialist, part scientist, part showman, part champion. He talked about making humanity a multiplanetary species, about populating Mars, about ending the reactionary energy age. The ideas sounded absurd and numerous, but he spoke with similar conviction that people could end dismiss him. At the same time, Musk began revealing further of his worldview. He wasn't motivated by plutocrat. He was chasing survival. "I want to increase the probability that humanity has a future," he said. To him, technology was n't about convenience. It was about icing civilization didn't collapse. He began to appear at conferences, talking not just about rockets and buses, but about empirical threat, climate change, and artificial intelligence. To some, he sounded like a prophet. To others, a cretin. Either way, everyone was hearkening. Inside the storm by late 2012, Tesla and SpaceX were both scaling briskly than anyone allowed possible. But success came with chaos. At Tesla's Fremont factory, product problems piled up. Corridor dirts, battery failures, software bugs, everything that could go awry did. Musk spent long nights on the plant bottom, walking between robotic arms and untreated buses, chancing results himself. At SpaceX, masterminds were formally pushing for reusability. Try to land and recover Falcon 9 boosters, rather of letting them crash into the ocean. Musk called it the holy grail of spaceflight, but utmost experts said it couldn't be done. He didn't care. He told his platoon, "We'll make rockets land like sci-fi pictures. It's just drugs." He meant it. The turning point in December 2012, SpaceX achieved another corner of Dragon capsule, completed a full weight charge to the ISS, and safely returned to Earth. The footage of the capsule splashing down in the Pacific made captions worldwide. The idea of a private company launching, docking, and recovering a spacecraft was formerly unbelievable. Now it was a fact. NASA doubled down on SpaceX, granting them fresh contracts and support for crewed operations in the future. Elon Musk had earned their trust and their plutocrat. At Tesla, the Model S's success was attracting a cult following. Celebrities, politicians, and early adopters all wanted one. The waiting list stretched for months. Critics who formerly called Musk's intentions delusional were now scrabbling to understand how he'd pulled it off. By the end of 2012, both Tesla and SpaceX were profitable, and for the first time, Musk was fighting for survival. He was leading a revolution. The rise of the Musk myth around this time, commodity deeper began to shift. Elon Musk was no longer seen just as a CEO. He was getting an idea, a symbol of what one person could do when they refused to accept limits. He'd gone from the point of ruin to reshaping 2 trillion bone diligence in lower than a decade. Intelligencers began calling him the real-life Tony Stark. When Iron Man 2 came out in 2010, Musk had indeed made a gem, and Robert Downey Jr. admitted he'd modeled Tony Stark's personality on him. The comparison stuck. People weren't just following his companies presently. They were following him. By 2013, Elon Musk had surfaced from times of failure, debt, and public mistrustfulness as one of the most influential numbers of the ultra-modern age. SpaceX had changed how humanity reached space. Tesla had readdressed what an auto could be. But to Elon, these palms were end in end. They were way on a much longer journey, a path that led beyond Earth itself. By 2013, Elon Musk had done what utmost would have called insolvable. He dragged 2 diligence, space and automotive, into a new age. Tesla had proven electric buses could be thrilling, and SpaceX had shown private spaceflight could compete NASA. But for Elon, success was no way a finish line. It was a springboard. He wasn't looking at daily gains or stock prices. He was looking at Mars. A new obsession of Verity is, Mars had always been the point. Every rocket, every company, every insomniac night, it all traced back to one thing icing humanity's survival beyond Earth. By 2013, SpaceX was profitable and stable enough for Musk to start speaking further openly about that vision. He called it making life multiplanetary. It was just rhetoric. He meant it in the most non-fictional, logistical, engineering sense. He began sketching out the early arrangements for what would latterly come Starship, a completely applicable spacecraft able of carrying humans to Mars and back. In meetings, he described it not as a distant dream but a soluble problem. "We formally know how to get there," he said formally. "It's just a matter of spanning the technology and surviving the wharf." To him, Mars wasn't fantasy, it was a design plan. Falcon 9's next leap, while Musk pictured about interplanetary flight, his masterminds were obsessed with the coming immediate step reusability. Rockets were still disposable. Each launch cost knockouts of millions because the first stage fell into the ocean after takeoff. Elon allowed that was insane. "Imagine if airplanes were single use," he said. "You have to buy a new 747 every time you flew." So SpaceX began experimenting. On test breakouts, they started firing the Falcon 9's machines during descent, trying to decelerate the fall. The first many attempts were chaotic, boosters spinning out of control, crashing into swells, exploding on impact. Utmost aerospace stagers said it couldn't be done. But each failed wharf tutored SpaceX commodity. They bettered the software, tweaked the fins, recalibrated the machines. And sluggishly, the insolvable started looking ineluctable. In 2013, a test vehicle nicknamed Grasshopper, a small single-machine rocket prototype, managed to take off, hang, and land upright in Texas. The footage stunned the world. It looked like wisdom fabrication, a rocket gently touching back down on the same pad it launched from. It was crude, short, and experimental, but it proved conception. And Elon was rapturous. "This," he said, "changes everything." Tesla's growing pains while SpaceX played with rockets. Tesla faced a different challenge growth. The Model S had been a massive success, but scaling product was brutal. The Fremont plant was constantly running behind schedule. Suppliers couldn't keep up. Each auto needed complex battery packs assembled by hand. Musk began boarding at the plant again, walking the bottom at night, checking machines himself. He demanded new product lines, briskly robotization, and better quality control. Workers said he'd frequently sleep under an office near the assembly area. "You say and be a leader from an ivory palace," he said. "You have to be in the fosses." But there was a bigger issue brewing, Price. The Model S was amazing, but at $70,000 over, it was out of reach for utmost people. Musk's long-term vision depended on erecting commodity cheaper, commodity that could truly change the world. So he began planning Model 3, the affordable electric auto that would bring EVs to the millions. He promised it intimately in 2013. "In about three times, we'll have an auto for around $35,000, he said. The crowd cheered. Investors smiled. Masterminds shocked. They knew how hard that would be, but Musk didn't care. "We'll figure it out," he told them. "We always do." The supercharger network, one of the biggest challenges for electric buses, was range anxiety. The fear of running out of charge with no place to plug in. Musk saw that as an empirical threat. However, he had to abolish that fear if he wanted Tesla to succeed. So, in 2012 and 2013, Tesla began erecting superchargers, ultra-fast charging stations spaced along major roadways. They were free for Tesla possessors and strategically placed between metropolises like Los Angeles and San Francisco, or New York and Boston. The network grew presto. By the end of 2013, Tesla motorists could travel across corridor of the U.S. purely on electric power. Musk loved the symbolism. "You can drive across America without a single drop of gasoline," he said at one opening. "That's the future." The press called it a hype trick. But within a time, every major automaker would begin planning their own charging networks. Formally again, Tesla forced the assiduity to move. The turning point for SpaceX that same time, SpaceX started winning major contracts. They were now launching satellites for marketable guests, not just NASA. The company had become an illicit player in the global launcher quest, undercutting challengers with dramatically lower costs. In December 2013, they successfully launched the Falcon 9 version 1.1, a redesigned rocket able of lifting heavier loads and testing new reusability tech. For the first time, cameras captured the supporter dropping out the atmosphere and firing its machines to decelerate down before crashing into the ocean. It didn't survive, but it was close. Each near-miss pushed them closer to revolutionizing spaceflight. Musk twittered after the test, "Coming time, it'll land." He was only partial joking. A man of contradictions by now, Elon Musk was far and wide. Magazine covers, late-night interviews, keynote stages. He was being called a real Iron Man and the most ambitious entrepreneur since Edison. But behind the praise, cracks showed. Workers described prostration, insolvable hours, and constant pressure. Musk's temper was notorious. He'd rebuke brigades over small crimes, shoot emails at 2 a.m. demanding answers, and fire people who couldn't keep pace. He defended himself by saying, "If you're pushing the boundaries of what's possible, you shouldn't do it 9 to 5. He wasn't wrong, but it came at a cost. Connections rasped. Development climbed. Musk sounded decreasingly insulated, defined by his charge further than by mortal connection. To outlanders, he looked impregnable. To those close to him, he looked like a man driven by fear as much as ambition, a fear that humanity might waste its eventuality and that he didn't have enough time to fix it. Looking toward Mars in August 2013, at a talk in Guadalajara, Musk unveiled early generalities for the Mars Colonial Transporter, the precursor to what would come Starship. He spoke calmly about applicable boosters, refueling en route, and erecting territories on Mars. To him, it wasn't wisdom fabrication. It was logistics. He talked about transferring thousands of people, erecting glass houses, mining water ice, indeed terraforming the Earth over centuries. "I won't die on Mars," he said. "Just not on impact." The crowd laughed, but he wasn't joking. That same time, SpaceX still began designing new machines, Raptor, powered by methane and liquid oxygen, designed specifically for Mars operations. Every launch, every trial was a step toward that thing. He was then erecting rockets to get rich. He was erecting them to leave Earth. The year ends, and a legend forms by the end of 2013. Both Tesla and SpaceX had defied every vaticination. Tesla's Model S was winning awards worldwide, indeed being named Motor Trend's ultimate car of the time. SpaceX had launched multiple successful operations and was on the verge of landing a rocket complete. Elon Musk wasn't just a CEO. Presently, he was an icon of what humanity could do when one person refused to accept limits. But the coming phase would be indeed harder. Musk's intentions were spanning faster than his company's. He wanted cheaper rockets, briskly buses, further energy, and a path to Mars each informally. The real test wasn't just about invention presently. It was about abidance. Because from 2014 onward, Musk's world would expand faster than indeed he could control, and every success would bring new adversaries, new heads, and new wars to fight.